again and again and again. Like the biggest was, we found that when Baba dropped his body, we were so stunned, it was so totally unexpected to us women, that there were questions that came up. What would he want us to do? What is to be done next? What are we to do? And this thing of going to Pune for a darshan, Baba is not with us. I mean, fantastic. But they were coming. They said, we are coming. We have a date. We are coming. And then we said, but should we go to Pune? What are we going to do? Anyway, we women hadn't participated in the usual darshans. We were always behind the scenes, providing seeing to it that we went right there. We were witnesses. Mm-hmm. So Baba had said already he had provided the answer to our question, should we go to Pune? Because seated here one day in December of 68, and as it was fun, he said, something came up about March. And Baba said, yes, in March, you all march to Pune. So we said, it's that pun Baba used, march to Pune. So it was delightful. I giggled, somebody laughed. But that came back and stood before us. Hey, the answer is already here. In March, we march to Pune. Mm-hmm. And that was given before we could even think of the question. Yeah, anybody going to Mara, please go now.
Well, there are two movies that have the donor and have the ball of
One of them is rather elderly. And just recently, immediately. And there was a darshan in Guru Prasad. They heard about Baba just recently, immediately. And there was a darshan in Guru Prasad in Pune. So they came along. And darshan in Guru Prasad, you have to know the dimension of the space within Guru Prasad Hall. It even seemed bigger than ever whenever Baba would be there. Because it would be full of his lovers. Not just a crowd, but, you know, filled with each one very individual and perfect in itself. And there would be a multitude of them. And they would be singing, laughing, joyous, because they'd come for Baba's darshan. And there he would be sitting at the end of the hall, of that big hall, in a white sadra, silent, so that ordinarily, if it was an ordinary person amidst this gay crowd, colorful crowd, joyous crowd, you couldn't see, but every eye would go straight there, to that silent point in that white sadra, is the point from which all this is emanated, the point from which all this light is there. It would be automatic. And each one of those lovers would feel, Baba made each one feel that he had given him or her something special. Each one would go away with a feeling, oh, he smiled specially at me. Oh, he asked me a special question. He patted me. Whatever it was, in whatever way. It was not for the onlooker to judge or realize, but each person receiving it would feel, it's for me. And then, not only would the hall be full, the veranda, the approach road, way down to the gate, and it was just like an ocean had come alive. And amidst them walked these two American ladies, who had heard of Baba in Bombay, through Khorshed, I believe. One of them was an artist, and somehow she was drawn enough to come and see. Now, when Baba's giving to so many, and giving individually to so many, you would think he would have no time to look at something happening there, or somebody there, or some newcomer here, or some old-timer there. But there will always be surprises. Because in the midst of giving darshan, giving of himself to each one so bountifully, Baba turned around and looked at this artist lady, the two ladies that were there. And he turned and said to Eric, who would always be standing by his side, what about some chairs for them? They can't. You know, what about some chairs for them so that they can be seated? So the word went round, some old chairs were found so that the elderly ladies could be seated. And after a time, when the darshan was coming to his last stages, again Baba turns round and says to the lady who was an artist, do you have something to say to me? Ask. Have you anything to ask? Do you want to tell me something? Do you want to ask me something? Oh, no, Baba, no. Thank you. So, all right, Baba went on. Then, again, after some minutes, again he turned around and said, is there something you would like to ask me? Something you would like to say to me? And then she blushed and she said, yes, Baba. She said, you know, I can't take you for God, but is it all right if I take you as my friend? You should have seen the smile on Baba's face when he said, sure, I am the best friend ever. I am the best friend ever. I am father, I am mother, I am child, I am beloved, I am brother, whatever you take me. And I'm the best friend. And I'm God. Take me as God, because I am that. Take me as father, because I am that. And he enumerated. But then he looked stern and said, don't take me as anything in between. I'm not just a guru, just a saint, just a this or that. And I tell you, the impact of witnessing little things like that for us, like when now that we witness that in sharing with all of you, how Baba came to each of you, that was really an experience. Just sit there and hear, to see Baba with these two, and the way he said it. And they were so satisfied, so totally replete with the confidence and said, they left like that. And Baba would be like that on your level, on each one's level, on a child's level, philosopher's level, on a lover's level, on a stranger's level. Didn't matter. Each one felt that, yes, they could relate to Baba, that Baba understood them. And Baba did. He not only understands each, he accepts each one totally and fully as no human being can ever do. And that has impressed, from the stories I hear, that thing comes out, this fact comes out so vivid and so pure and large that he accepts it. Even sometimes we cannot accept ourselves as fully and wholly as Baba accepts us. And therefore, anything that one does for Baba, to please him, to be worthy, a little more worthy of the love we receive from him, anything that one does to what he would want us to do, and not what we would want ourselves to do, but what he would want us to do. And that is an opportunity that only comes in a lifetime. As I tell again and again, we are nothing but witnesses, especially so since Baba dropped his body on January 69. And we were totally unprepared for anything like that, totally unknowing of even one step of the future. Prepared for anything like that, totally unknowing of even one step of the future, let alone the future as it is now revealed to us. Absolutely not. And yet, the way we have witnessed from right then on that he does his own work, the way he has been directing it, the way he has been conducting it, the way things are unfolding and being revealed is a constant presence, his presence. Here we have with us today Irene Below from Switzerland. She was 8 years in the ashram with us. She was with us in Cannes. We were with her in 1952. And Irene, we've never forgotten that beautiful big rabbit that you had.
Yes.
Didn't she have blue eyes, Irene?
Yes, blue eyes is an Austrian some name. But blue eyes and white, not red eyes like usually.
No, it's amazing.
And it was big like this.
A pillow.
Yes. And then Monica dropped it was, I think, her name was. And Dr. Schultz, when I went out shopping or something, so she had this part of lameness from the back, you know, like paralysis. But the doctors, they went quickly to the pharmacist and to the veterinary, and they gave the nerve of pills like we do before to go and do the breathing. And we had they brought her through the cushion, and the doctor said, she mustn't lay in her dirt, she will die, but I should hold her like a baby and make her do her thing so she got the habit. And after one day, would they cover? But later, one day, that was kept lame, but the doctor said, don't, I wouldn't like to kill her anyhow because of how much touch her. And she was really almost human. Yeah. The veteran used to say, what an angel this is. And later, she had an inflammation in that bad leg, and she used to lay on the kitchen floor on the stone, and I didn't realize. And suddenly she got sort of very pink ears. So she had fever, but as she still was eating, I didn't realize. So she got kidney trouble from the cold stone and pneumonia. And the doctor did everything to cure her, penicillin and I don't know what. He didn't spare anything to try to cure her. But it was her time to leave. And the day I felt she was going to leave, I had her in a doll's cot, otherwise, and used to take her to the toilet, you know, to make her things. And she would always wait until I would come home from office. She wouldn't do anything in between. She was so clever. And the vet said, you feel, you know, when you want to give nature, you felt she made like this even. I'm not exaggerating. And then when I felt it was time for her to die, I thought, it was just on a Sunday, luckily that I was there. I thought, now let me have her. And she was so peaceful. Only before she died, she made like this one sign, and I was taking Baba's name in with her. But you see, the death wasn't, I was very sad, of course. I was really, because she had been also been with Baba also. But it was, I think she was very lucky. I think she must have passed on quickly.
I remember how Baba was so concerned.
Oh, very concerned.
Call the doctor, do this, give her medicine.
Baba's had us give medicine, and we have witnessed his love and care for the pets. So many pets that we, absolutely. You know, we put antiphlogiston plaster on a mongoose. They had pneumonia. We have given laxative to parrots, open the beak and put, you know, the same thing that humans would take, not for animals. And Baba loved feeding them. He would have the birds on his lap. The first thing he would ask how they were, and then, of course, the birds always pretended they were hungry. The moment they saw Baba, they'd go, ah. And Baba would turn around and say, what are you doing? Aren't you feeding my birds? And we said, we've just fed the bird. If you've just fed them, how would a bird be doing that? And we'd look at that bird and say, you just wait. So, and Baba would just overfeed them. So they would cry before eating because they were hungry. And after Baba fed them, they would cry because they had a pain in the stomach from overeating. So Baba would, of course, say, give them laxative and give them walk. We have stood in that long hall in the East Room, three of us, with the three little parrots, ugly, because they haven't even sprouted feathers yet, not enough. So three of us with the fingers say, come on, walk. And they'll go, wah, wah, wah. Again, we'd push. And often Baba would come in from down below from the men, and he loved having things in his pocket. So when his hand was in his pocket, we knew there was a surprise. And very often it would be either a little chipmunk or a little bird that had fallen out of the nest and it found on the way. And he'd bring and he'd pull out his hand and there it would be. We'd say, ah, ooh, we'd be so happy. But it wasn't so easy afterwards, you know. Because Baba wanted so much attention and absolute perfect care given medically, as much on humans as on birds and his pets. Why, I have in my diary of 1936, not much of a diary, but I used to take down notes. And it says, the last thing Baba did every evening before retiring to his bedroom, to his cabin, which is far away, he would visit every pet. in their pens, in their boxes, in their room. Each one received his love, concern, before he went. And when I look back, I'd forgotten that detail. And I said, yeah. Even in the new life, when the animals, the four-legged companions were with us, and the women would camp in one place, and the men would camp always separately. But you could see them. You could see, in the night, you could see their lanterns lit, and you know things were being done. And early in the morning, in that bitter cold of the north of India, see, I'm right, we would see the land. It would be like 2:30, 3 in the morning, and we would see that far away the lanterns were there, and the men bent down doing this. They were chopping the fodder for the camel, for the cows, for the horse, for the donkey, whatever had, you know, all this, so that by the time if Baba was ready, as soon as they finished that, we would be off on our walking, on our wandering. And the men would even miss a morning cup of tea. But that was given first preference, the first thing, for others, for the thing.
Hard and struggling to find. Because there's nothing to find. And
Then I immediately asked my mother, because I didn't want just to ask my father that he thought I opened his secret. He wouldn't mind if I opened anything else. And then I asked my mother, and she said, she told me about it. She gave me the question and answer to it in some little book. But you see, this election thing didn't interest me so much. But then we went to the Baba meeting at Katie's house. Helen was there also. And it was while they were in Nasi. And we were read out the letters from Norina.
Yeah.
And I still have the letter later from Norina, where she wrote to us, who wants to come to India? Baba says, why not Irene? So yeah. She wrote this. I still, it's half in English and half in German. I've read it out in Canyon Sumer. And I translated it. So, also from, she read out those letters. And I was just, therefore, I didn't even, sorry for this, what they talk, but for Baba's feeling. Yes. So it was that, it just spoke to my heart. And then when Baba came in the beginning of 37,
yeah,
after Nafik and he brought, it was beginning. They all forget that visit of Baba in
July, maybe.
No, it was in the beginning. It was July, August, he came to Kent. It was before, after Nafik. And then he
said,
yes, but maybe it was 36, 37.
Yes, 37. Then you have called you to come to help in the housekeeping or something.
Yes.
But you knew.
But Baba was there in 37 beginning.
Yes, and shopping all that.
Yes. And, but Hedy said that her daughter can't do housework and all that, so that's her because I knew housework.
Yeah.
I should go. And that I didn't work or do anything, I could go. And that was my chance. But you see, I missed Baba once. And that stay of Baba in Switzerland was very rarely mentioned. They forgot about that stay. And then Baba came in, people could come and see, he was not there, but could see him in the office of Walter's brother.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I got scared. And I was on the list, and I was to come. And after the night, I knew Baba would see him in my whole house. And I hear you, I'm you have secrets, but not like today, you know. And we were very nice and very good at that time. And after the night, I cried so bitterly. And Baba then said, at the meeting, somebody I wanted to come has not come. And later, he has told me that it has been me. So, but that's why I had to come to Kent. So that was because, you see, I had to come to India, because then I would have got involved in life much more. Got married with the wrong man or something. So I had to come to India to save me from all that.
Yeah.
So, and in Kent, I asked one, oh, can I also come to India? And they all said, oh, it's too hard. You won't be able to stand it. But then, you see, I never saw any hardship. Even when I was cooking that which I was not used to cooking with coal and all that, getting up early morning. Because for the last work we had service at home. So when I was working like a servant, and some of the things I wasn't used to. Yes, I was serving Baba. You know, I was working like this much across the yard. I didn't feel any basket or anything. And that one dish she used to love it, you know, we call it ratatouille. It had eggplant and
courgette
and tomatoes and
vegetarian.
Yes. Oh yes, but we used to live vegetarian too for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh yes. And we had this long fruit, you know, this French bread.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, but that's wonderful. And you know, I never realized that time that you were always staying together. I never felt you were kept rather more strict, you know. I never realized that at all, because I wasn't looking. I was thinking so much about anyone.
Why are you coming down? Why didn't you come down? Because you're not supposed to come down.
But no, I didn't see you. And then we got to know that we do what Baba tells us. But I didn't realize, you know. Sometimes when you were in Boston, somebody had two stood before the room. But that I thought it was just, I saw nothing unusual.
And you came up to show me things off the
And then I sewed the white coat at home all by hand, and I gave it to Elizabeth, and it just came to Baba's birthday before we came to India. And after the day, I wrote to her. And since that, Loretta Wagner then, he mentioned names, and then he said, why not Irene? So, Loretta, with that thought, I've been happy when I read this today.
And this Kitty wrote to you.
Oh, yes, before Kitty kept contact, and many letters were signed by Baba. And you see that I wanted to ask now, when I write my book, I have all in case, but I have to translate it and change. But I have so many letters because first I used to always write with you a lot, but then I thought I must have that contact because you are so busy. So many people write now, that's why I didn't write so much. But I have many letters, so if some of things of these letters, if I might copy, but I can also send a copy to Mani and ask her if it's all right, when I was as far as dates. It's lovely to have all your letters, you know, box full like this.
It's lunchtime.
No, but your letter, mine says I never put it. Oh, no, but only what is the date? There isn't always the date. So it's Satara, but you have been several times. Yeah. And we probably had to hear. So, but that's not so important. But I treasure that very much. And there I wasn't well, so I was put in a nice hotel.
Yeah.
And I wasn't used to having a waiter standing here with a turban and a thing like this. And I was, the peace fell from my foot because somebody standing there, and then, you know, it was good for my head. Yes. And then you having somebody standing behind me. And I staying in the wonderful hotel, and you all sitting on the ground eating, and then, you know, And so, because I was ill, I was glad to get better. And then also I went to walk, and one evening in the, it gets quickly dawn, you know, and then it stops. And then you shouldn't walk about because of the tigers and those animals.
They're not manatee tigers, they're not there.
No, but still, you could smell them. I used to go to walk, and suddenly I thought it was a calf, really, that was walking. And I thought, imagine, they took Baba's leg, and then I thought it was only a calf. I think they slept once on the porch where Baba stayed with the monkey. I think a tiger slept there. So.
Yeah.
In Mabitha, we'll be in such fun.
Really?
Yes.
Who's got the lion in the lamb, shall I
don't know. But I remember talking about the lion.
When he's driving, it is a drive for him. Even at the last month, when Baba was so tired, so weak, frail, so that to get up from the bed to sit on the chair was served as a potty chair, but it looked like a chair. It's in his room. So Eric would persuade him, Baba's all right, I'll help you, I'll pick you up. And Baba said, no, how can you? No, yes, I can. And Baba would put his two arms on Eric's neck. Eric would put his two arms on Baba's waist and leg and pick him up like a child and put him on the commode chair, the potty chair. Then Baba would look up at him. I was there once, so see? He's like my mother. My mother looks after me.
So you see, it all depends on his love. His love for Eretz was so evident. His love for us all. His love is what makes it possible for us to love him. It's always a reflection, the light reflection that hits back. Of our own, we can give nothing. Of our own, we are nothing. But that is why it is always great. Even this love, this service, this whatever you call it, dedication, devotion, surrender. But it's a reflection of his life. But we have to simply see that we reflect well, that we are good reflectors. We cannot direct the light, but we can be good reflectors. Which is what he has said. Keep the bulbs clean. Keep the wires intact. See that the rats and mice don't, you know, he did that, nibble at the wires. The mice of jealousy, greed, all these desires, all these things that we are so much full of. See that they don't snare. Keep everything in order, because when he's really going to give it in that universal measure, that time will come, and when he gives it, it's like turning on the powerhouse. Then we may not receive it for a little fault, like a faulty switch. A bulb may not shine so much because we had not kept it clean. So But you know, another thing is when he, just 5 minutes,
yes,
when he gives, like when he would give...
After that, you go to other side, you have to...
No, they're not going there. When Baba would be Dasar at Guru Prasad or in other places, when his lovers would gather to be with him, they would come with their hearts and to bow down, to be with him, Sava. So Baba would say that at times like that, I open the door of my heart a little bit, a tiny bit. And as the darshan time came, we could feel it at those times. And in 1969 and later, that's happening. But you see, if he were to open more, but he said a day, the time will come when he will fling open the doors. And that must be some preparation. Because not always can we take what he is, what he gives us. What he gives, not always can we take. So at times like that, when he gave it to his, so many lovers gathered before him. But supposing when he went to his room at the end of the darshan, and as Eric said, sometimes they would come, just one has come all the way from the north, all the way, but he was late and the train broke and this happened and that, and he just wants a glimpse of Baba, just a few minutes. How can our hearts not be touched? So we then take the liberty of informing Baba. And Baba, once it was closed, as if he said, enough, you know, now no more. And then he would groan, he would not be happy about it, he'd be reluctant, and we'd persuade him, he'd say, all right, I'll come. So then he'd put on his sadra again, because it was summertime, he'd just been wiped, he was sitting on his shirt. So he'd put on his sadra, and as he was going to the men's side, Eric had that person there with him for Baba to come in. He would say, where's my garland? That pink garland. And then he was so earnest about it. We'd say, any garland, Baba's in a hurry, any... No, Baba would say. So I said once, Baba, you look beautiful even without the garland. It's all right, just 1 minute, see him, and then sort of you can relax. The Baba kept looking around, where's that garland? He was frowning. Garland. And then we got that garland. Mara found it in time and the thing. Pink flowers like that, made of silk or paper. You know, it's a silk like that. And you know, one would wonder, I mean, Baba's Baba. That lover is just wanting to have a glimpse of him. What does the garland matter? But no, from another time, when he had said something, you put two and two together. And what it meant was that if in that darshan radiance, if you were to see just one person, that person couldn't take it. So this garland would break the force. We say, oh, how beautiful the garland is. How beautiful Baba is. It's to detract from Baba, to distract your mind fully from Baba, and that force is, distracted. And so you can take what Baba's giving. But without, if it were unobstructed, unscreened, pure giving out, and focused on one person, you couldn't take it. That's what we gathered from, and at another time when he said that, and I was thinking, why did Baba do that? I mean, even without a gun, and Baba with the...
I was curious about movies, too. The same thing happens in the movies. Because he never looks. Very seldom he looks directly at the camera. His eyes are constantly moving.
Yeah.
And the hands are all there, too. You know, he's working on all of that. You know, he can't... You know, he's very conscious of everything that's going on. But he doesn't look really intently. And it's probably for the same reason.
You see, at these particular occasions, when he's coming out, as it were, giving up himself to his lovers, come, his invitation, he has invited, come for my darshan, those who want to. This is the time, you see, that amounted to that. And at that time, he really opened it. But once he went into his room after the thing was done, and we call him out, plead with him for just one lover who really deserved it, according to us, and he'd also want to. He would. But then these little things that confused us at the time, in the sense that it didn't seem characteristic of Baba. I mean, it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't fit. Then, but he won't tell us that this is why I do this. No, that's not Baba's way. But at another time, for another reason, when he explains something, it fits. That's why. You see how much he loves us if he doesn't even give us more than we can take. It's the right time to tell it. The other day, Vasumati came to our office. Vasumati is of the first family, as you might say, in Baba's love. The first family down south. Her mother's sister, a grandfather. I even remember the grandfather having visited home and seen my parents. Eris tells me he was a renowned judge, a Brahmin, which means very orthodox Hindu. And he gave up his Brahminism for Baba. And then what did you say, Eris?
He went out cleaning the street. Because at the time of the British, what had happened...
I think in the 40s. And you know, these small town circuses are so wonderfully enjoyed. You have a very nostalgic memory of them. Because it's not like the big circuses that we've been to in Bombay, where everything is just so grand and resplendent. But this is just like... A country home is, well, this was a small town circus, and you can imagine what it was like in Ahmednagar. So it was held in some grounds here, open grounds in Ahmednagar. I couldn't today tell you where exactly that was located. And in the center was the stage, the circus stage, for the performers, for the elephants, the tigers, the trapeze artists, and all of that. And Baba took us to see the circus. But Baba didn't want to be recognized. Mm. And being Ahmednagar, there's bound to be somebody who would recognize Baba. And he wanted to be just one of the audience, just with us, just enjoying the circus and giving us the joy of enjoying the circus too. So Baba put on that scarf right around here and another scarf here. And we went into the circus when it was just about to start, so that we wouldn't meet so many others who might recognize Baba. And there were these, on the ground, there were these rickety chairs placed in semi-circles, as they are in the circus ground. And we sat in the first row, so that the others at the back wouldn't be seeing Baba so much and wouldn't know who he is. So we sat there, and circus began. It's pretty nice. We like these small circuses. They're so, they give you a home-like feeling, you know, a family feeling. And there was the act of the elephants. It's so lovely when they catch each other's tails and go round and round. They do one act, and then suddenly the signal comes, and they immediately catch each other's tails in their trunks, and they circle round. Baba liked that very much. We loved it, too.
And the biggest elephant coming out again on the stage, and we said, oh, it's not finished. Sit down. And reluctantly, Baba sat down, and we, of course, very happily sat down. And there was this big, beautiful elephant. And you know, the elephant's eyes, which is the smallest part of the elephant, but is the most eloquent of the elephant. And it's so human. So it's like you're looking into an understanding person's eyes. You must have marked too. So there she was, like as if she knew that this was something special, her eyes said. And in her uplifted trunk was a beautiful garland. And it was being led by the owner himself. The owner came on the stage with this beautiful elephant who had this garland in her trunk. And we said, oh, how lovely. And then we saw that instead of stopping in the center, they were turning, and the elephant and the owner were coming towards where we were. And Baba was cornered, as it were. And the owner then just stood, looked at Baba, took the garland from the elephant's trunk, stepped down from the stage, and garlanded Baba. And Baba's, he couldn't do anything about it. So he smiled and he said how happy he was and how wonderful the circus was. And he was happy that he'd done. And then he turned around and legged it. He went so fast to the car, and we were stumbling over each other to get. We weren't being chased by the lion or the tiger. Baba didn't want to be chased by a Baba lover whom he didn't want to see at the time. So we quickly got into the car and went off. That reminds me of another circus. Another circus that treats is not only the story of this particular circus outing we had with Baba, but it also... it also illustrates what I've been telling you often, how so many people who have seen Baba, who have had Baba's company without knowing who Baba is, apart from those, of course, who have entertained Baba in books or in films, Woodhouse, Agatha Christie, all Rex Stiles, all Baba's favorite authors, Edgar Wallace, and how many books Baba has enjoyed of their writing, but they haven't known. But there are others who have seen Baba, but they haven't known, and yet they have received so much of Baba's love. Now, this was a circus we went to, again, a small-time circus, but a very unique circus. This was in Khuldabad. You know when you go to Aurangabad, and Khuldabad is a few miles away from Aurangabad. And there's this big, beautiful place, government house, rest house. Mm-hmm. We had stopped there with Baba for about 7 days. We were there. And the place was also very much associated with Sai Baba, one of the authentic perfect masters, as Baba told us. Lovely atmosphere when we were there. So we went to see this circus. Now, this circus is very unique, although it was small, because it was... a family circus, as I might say, it was run and performed by one big family. Grandpa was the owner who ran it. Then there were the children, the daughters-in-law, the sons-in-law, the cousins, the grandchildren, the little girls who did the acrobatics, and even the baby was brought in. The dog who was their pet, there was a calf, which acted in it, and some very unique act in it. I'll tell you some of the unique acts. For the first time, we had seen a number of dogs performing who danced together to a waltz music. Mm-hmm. And some were dressed in skirts and had, looked like they held... I think one of them held an umbrella. And the others were dressed in men's clothing. And they danced together. And I'm sure this was this one dog who was partly cocker and partly something. He must have been their pet because what he did once, he came on the stage bouncing, so happy. The whole atmosphere of the circus was happy. It was like a happy family performing for you, and with joy. So, and here they were performing for God. And here was this little dog that came on the stage, wagging his tail, looking at us, sort of, you seen me? see what I can do? And there was this tall ladder, And he climbed up the ladder, and then he had to jump from there into a net, from this high ladder, and then he jumped out. Again he went by, said, bye, say Baba, and wagged his tail and went out. Then there was this calf. What do you call a boy calf?
I think
a
calf.
Heifer. That's a girl calf?
Yeah.
Just a calf. Anyway, there was this calf, and he was pretty plump, and you know, not very shapely, but very funny and very characteristic. And he played dead. So the clown had a grand time. His name was Batatu, which means a short form for potato. Batatu, a little potato. Come on, get up, Batatu. And he wouldn't budge, he wouldn't move. And then those clowns were doing all sorts of clowning, of course. And then they found that they had to lift him. They had to lift this heavy little calf to take him off stage. And that's when he shook and got up and ran out. And then those clowns were so amazed. But, oh, he wasn't dead after all. He's ran off. And then the clowns all ran after him. And that was very funny. Then there was this unique act of... there was a mock well on the stage. With this tarula. What's a tarula called? You know, that wooden frame over which there is a wheel and you draw the water from the well. That was there and all. And instead of the oxen of the bullocks, drawing water from that well, because it was very realistic, that done. It was lions. Mm-hmm. And I think they were trained to sound very ferocious, mm-hmm. because they didn't want to do it, and they'd growl, roar, and then the man would say, no, you have to do it, you have to do it. And then they pull the water across. And so there were lots of unique little tricks, and we really enjoyed it very much. What I remember most is at the end of the play, they all came on the stage, the whole family, even Mama, who used to do cooking and backstage work, which is a lot. Even she came on, and the aunts and the uncles and all, because they'd all been taking part in the play. They all stood in a row on the stage. They all bowed to Baba. And we just wanted to get up and tell him, you don't know what happened to you today. But Baba was really happy, really pleased. And he did this to them, you know. Gave them something that was so beautiful. That used to intrigue me, even when we used to go in a car with Baba, even up to somewhere Ambernagar. We see these people pass by, they turn their heads, they see Baba, and the car would go by. And I'd say, oh my, they don't know. They don't know what they've received, because it's bound to. They're bound to receive something. And of course, Baba didn't want that. Baba could do his work. Even when he went out to do his work, he was always incognito, because he didn't want to be recognized. Except the ones he wanted to touch their heart. I still remember we were in Kulu Valley with Baba, that beautiful place, and we were just very few, three or four of us, Rana, myself, of course Meru, that's all, isn't it, of the women. And we'd gone for this beautiful long walk, and there was this sadhu somewhere, and Baba also wanted to combine this relaxation with some work that we never knew, of course, what his work was or how he did it. But he would like contact sadhus or masks or seekers at different times. So he wanted to contact the sadhus. And I don't quite recall the details, but I know that... were you asked to approach him?
No.
No.
But I think that he was
by
Baba trying to get away from
him,
so he recognized Baba.
Ah, that I know, but before that, what happened? So anyway, as Baba was approaching him, I think he sent a message with me, and I said something to the man, and when I said, which was not Baba's name, something Baba said that my friend or my brother or elder brother, or but one look he gave to Baba, and somehow that man who had not seen Baba before recognized him in an instant. And his face just shone like a switch had been put on, and a light was in his face. And Baba saw that, and Baba didn't want that. He wanted to get away. Baba turned right around and started walking so fast, and of course we just turned around and followed Baba so fast. So, and Baba was taking twists and turns to avoid that man, and every now and then he would make a gesture. Is he following? Is he following? And we are running and looking back. Baba was being chased by a devoted soul, a lover. And no, he didn't want it. So breathless, we returned home, breathless. No, he never. But later we were told that somewhere around there, someone was searching and asking and making inquiries.